Welcome to The Grow Show, powered by Steel. On The Grow Show, we share ideas, tips, tactics, and insights to help you grow your landscaping business based on our team's 40 years of experience running a landscaping company and working with other owners and their teams to do the same. New episodes are released weekly on Wednesdays. Filling in for our host, Marty Grunder, this week is Grow Group Vice President Vince Torchia. I'll let him take it from here.
Time to start setting our sights on 2025. And today in this short episode of The Grow Show, I want to give you some questions to consider as you're listening to this about getting your plan ready for 2025. No surprise for any of you, if you've heard anything from The Grow Group before, Marty Grunder, it always starts with the same question. Does our vision, our mission, and our core values still resonate for our company going into 2025? When is the last time we reviewed what our vision is, right? What our ideal state as a company is, what our Super Bowl is? When's the last time we revisited that? Does it still ring true? Are we still excited about that as we go into 2025? What about the mission statement that we have, the things that we do on a daily basis to support that vision? How are we doing with that? As many of you have heard from Marty, Grunder Landscaping Company in 2022 changed their mission statement to incorporate more of a team philosophy. And now our mission statement is really to create opportunities for our team to grow and succeed, right? That's the core basis of what our mission statement is. We're still going to enhance the beauty and value of every client's property, right? We're still going to do that, but we're going to front load that by providing opportunities for our team to grow and succeed. That's the mission that we're excited about. And it's the mission we think our team is excited about. So again, when's the last time you looked at your vision statement? When's the last time you looked at your mission statement? And how about your core values? Do you have five core values? Really, three of them speak more to your company than the other two do. Maybe you go down to three. If you don't have core values, that's okay, right? Grunder Landscaping Company at the point didn't have core values. What words are we already exhibiting? What words are we already using to describe the company that we want to be? Some of them can be aspirational, meaning we may not have the best quality of work right now, but we're aspiring to have the number one quality. And so let's put quality down as a core value that's more aspirational. That's completely okay. At Grunder Landscaping Company, we have four: quality, leadership, teamwork, and profitability. We hire to those, we fire to those, we breathe those on a daily basis. And by the way, more importantly, we recognize our team for exhibiting those core values on a daily basis. So we haven't updated our core values. We feel like quality, leadership, teamwork, and profitability still sing to our company and sing to our team. So we're going to leave those alone. So that's the first question as you go into 2025. Do we have our vision statement? Do we have our mission statement? Do we have core values? And are they still ringing true to the company that we are now? Maybe it's something you did 5 or 6 years ago. You've kind of put it on its shelf. You made some banners. You've had some good conversations around it, but maybe we're not living it as much as we think we should be. Don't let 2025 go by without updating them, right? Maybe you're just putting them through ChatGPT and updating some words and using a thesaurus and making it feel a little brighter. That's okay, right? But what we want to do is not just have those live on a wall, but we want them to live in your company. The number one way you can do that is by recognizing your team for exhibiting your mission statement, for exhibiting your core values, and recognizing them publicly for doing that. So that's the first thing to think about as you're going into 2025. The second is, okay, now that we know what we want to do, what are our revenue targets, right? What are our revenue targets? What can we sell? What can we produce? And as you've heard me say many times before, what is the ideal mix of that revenue for us? How much of that is in construction? How much is that is recurring? How much enhancements on the recurring revenue? And what about the specialty services? Snow, irrigation, lawn care, right? Fine gardening, maybe. What is our breakdown of that revenue? We've got to start with that. And it's not, boy, I'd love to go sell that. It's no, what do we think we can actually sell based on our marketplace, right? We always talk about in our ACE peer groups, right? Jim Calai really challenges people on this, which I love. What percent of your market do you actually have? If you don't know how big your market is, I'll give you my very quick, sophisticated, wild ass, you know what? Although I just said the word I wasn't supposed to say, my swag, right? My sophisticated, wild guess of how to get that for your marketplace is to take the six biggest companies in your marketplace, okay, and what is their revenue? Let's say there's a $5 million company, an $11 million company, a $12 million company, an $8 million company, and a $5 million company. So we're plus or minus 30 million, right? I take that number and I double it. And now we have an idea of what that market looks like for our ideal clients. Not the full market, right? But just the market for our ideal clients. And so maybe we're in a $60 million market and we've got $5 million of that. Okay, now I understand where we're at, right, in terms of what we have and what we can do. But that should help you understand what else is out there for us to go get and what can we actually produce. So again, of our revenue targets, what is the mix of that revenue? The revenue is important, but the mix is more important, and I'll tell you why next. But how much of that is construction, design, build? How much of that is recurring services? How much of that is enhancements? How much of that is specialty services? Because we need to do that to then do what? Hire staff and train our team. So we've got our vision, we've got our mission, we've got our core values. We've got our ability to understand our revenue goals and the breakdown of those. Now it's who do we need to do, who do we need to hire, who do we need to train to go support that revenue, right? And that goes back to our ideal client. So again, as we're going into 2025, we've got our revenue buckets, we've got our mix. In that mix, is that really who our ideal client is? Is that the client that we can make money off of, that's sustainable, that we enjoy working with, right? Is that people that we can actually continue to grow our business around? I don't want to have a conversation with you about doing $10 million in residential design build when for the last 5 years, you've been focused on industrial commercial work, and now we want to get into residential design build. You can do that, but it's hard to make that jump just in 1 year. That takes a lot of time, or it takes a lot of money and marketing to go do that. So do we have our ideal client defined? Your ideal client can be slightly different depending on what your mix is, right? Your commercial client may be different than your residential client. I will tell you, the more different they are, the more difficult it is to grow the business, right? So you've got to keep that in mind. But again, as you're thinking about 2025, make sure you at least go through the exercise, go through the filter of understanding, is my ideal client the same or has my ideal client changed over time? Grunder Landscaping's ideal client has changed over time for a very long time, right? We were focused on high-end residential landscapes and the maintenance of that. In our market in Dayton, Ohio, we began to gobble up a lot of that market. And for us then, in looking what was already around us, many of you have been to 1900 Old Byers Road in Miamisburg, there's a lot of commercial industrial businesses around us. So over the last 4 years, we've made an effort to grow in those areas because our market was dictating some of that. Our market was showing us, saying, hey, there's a ton of commercial opportunity around here. We're not really taking advantage of that because we've been only thinking about residential and some high-end commercial. But hey, this is all right around us. We can do this. We can do it effectively. We can do it well. Let's go after it, right? So our ideal client has changed over time as a function of the change in our market, right? So again, just because we've done a certain type of work for a long time does not mean we can't look at new opportunities for the business, because it goes back to our mission statement. We're trying to create opportunities for our team to grow and succeed. If we only did high-end residential in Dayton, Ohio, we would still be growing, we would not be growing as fast, and therefore we wouldn't be providing as many opportunities for our team to grow and succeed. So let me recap those three for you very quickly, and then I want to talk about two more things as we wrap up. Number one, our vision, mission, and core values, are they still resonating with us as we go into 2025? Or is it time for a refresh? Number two, our revenue goals. What is the work we can go sell based on our market, and what is the buckets of that revenue? Construction, design, build, recurring services, enhancements on top of that, specialty services, snow, irrigation, lawn care, tree care, et cetera, right? What are those dollars? And again, to support that, is our ideal client the same? Do we have the right mix of clients to hit the mix that we want to sell, right? So once we have those decided, then we can think about, okay, what needs to change from an equipment or team perspective? What new positions do we need to be hiring? What new equipment do we need to buy? What trucks or assets do we need to own as we go into 2025? It's still early enough right now that if you're making planning decisions for 2025, you're okay, right? Obviously, the earlier we can make a plan, the better. But now is the time to understand, well, if we're growing in commercial maintenance, we need more trucks and trailers and more people, right? The revenue per truck, the revenue per hour is just not as high on that. So you have to make up for it in volume. And to get volume, you need trucks and trailers or box trucks and people to go do that work. If we already have a great stable maintenance book of business and now we're trying to grow design build or heavy construction work, that revenue per hour is going to be higher. The investment's going to be higher on the front end though, of the large trucks, of the heavy equipment that we need to buy to go do that. So again, there's no right or wrong answer here. The only wrong answer is not having a plan and then trying to scramble and figure out how to get it done. Right. So based on your mix, based on your ideal client, firstly, what other equipment do we need to have? right? Again, on the maintenance side, trucks, box trucks, equipment, mowers, trimmers, people. On the heavy construction side, heavy equipment, larger trucks, again, larger revenue per hour, a little bit of a heavier investment up front. And to support that equipment, what people need to be sitting in those trucks? Do we have the right skills from operations perspectives if we're doing high end or highly heavy construction work? Do we have people with experience in that? Do they know what they're supposed to be doing on properties? Conversely, on the maintenance side, do we have people that know what attention to detail needs to look like on a maintenance client? Do we have the, quote, zookeeper type of salespeople that are going to make sure all this work we sell, we keep customers happy, right? So you've got to look at it from both operations and sales. Do we have the skill set at our company now to move into the growth that we've laid out based on our business mix, based on our ideal client? Because again, our hiring can be vastly different depending on what services we're trying to grow or trying to retain. Again, both on a sales side and an operations side. So we've got to have the skills to do that. It's our perspective. You can take people from outside the industry, bring them into the industry and train them on how to do things. But at the end of the day, we still are landscaping companies or snow companies. We have to have people that are experts in the craft at our company as we grow. We can never fully outsource that expertise. We have to have people in our organization that have the knowledge to be successful from a horticulture and a best practices standpoint. And they make great trainers, right? So we want to use them to train. But based on our mix, do we have the right equipment? Do we have the right people? Do we have the right salespeople and the right ops people? Or do we need to make some hires? Because now's the time to make those. We want to know now if we can hire somebody, bring them on, onboard them, and set them up for success in spring. We don't want to hire them February 1st, find out a month later, they hate this type of work, we don't like working with them, they were not a fit, now it's March, and oh boy, we are in a bad spot now, right? If someone's not a fit, I'd rather find that out in November and say, hey, not a fit for us, not a fit for you, let's go our own way, let's make another hire and keep this moving forward, right? So we want to be hiring ahead of need to match those mix and services. We hear it all the time, it's the chicken or the egg, do I go get the work and then make the hire, or do I make the hire and go get the work? Nowadays, I'm telling companies, make the hire now and go get the work, right? We can find ways to make those sales. What we don't want to do is overstretch ourselves too much, then have to be forced into making a hire. Maybe we compromise on who we would have hired as a result of that. And again, now we're maybe not in the spot we want to be in. So based on our mix, do we have the right equipment? Do we need to go procure equipment? Do we have the right people? Do we need to go make some hires? And then finally, what needs to change on the property? Okay, do we have enough employee parking spots? Do we have our TVs up for dashboards and metrics? Do we have a training spot set up to train this growing team that we have? If we're in snow, do we have our salt bot? Do we have a place to store it? If we're in lawn care, have we taken advantage of early order programs and we're going to store materials on site, right? But what on the property needs to change? And I'm talking everything from signage to bathrooms to flows in the office to upgrading computers or monitors. I know what you're thinking right now, Vince. Who freaking cares if I need new computers next year? What I'm telling you is just make a plan for it now so that you can go into full action mode once the year turns over, right? At the ACE Summit last year, we had a great theme. It was plan, act, do. And we want to focus on doing, right? I'm sorry, think, plan, act, do. We want to focus on doing. Right. So we want to think about it. We want to have a plan and we want to take action on that plan. So any thinking and planning we can do now will let us act in 2025 without having to think or plan because we've already done it. Right. So what needs to change on the property? So again, in summary, to think about those questions as we go into 2025, does our vision, our mission and our core values still resonate with our team? Or is it time for a refresh? It could be a small refresh. It could be a big refresh, but does it need to be refreshed? How do we go from moving those from just words on paper or words on a wall into our organization? Use positive recognition to do that, right? Number two, do we know what our mix of business needs to be from a revenue side? Do we know who our ideal clients are in each of those business mixes? Again, the bigger the deviation of those ideal clients, the more difficult it is to grow, but it can be done, right? But you just have to be aware of that. So of our business mix, do we have the right ideal clients? Do we have the correct definition of ideal clients within those business mixes to allow us to grow? To support those ideal clients, do we have the right equipment? Do we have the right team? What equipment do we need to buy? What team members do we need to hire, whether it's sales or ops? And finally, we have our property. What needs to change on our property to support those people, to support that equipment, to support those ideal clients, to support our vision, mission, and our core values? Walk through those questions, right? See what comes out, talk about it with your team. Let's get in the mindset now of thinking and planning so that we can focus on acting and doing when 2025 comes. All right, hope in a small way I've helped you today on this episode of The Grow Show. As always, if you like what you've heard here, come see us at a Grunder field trip. Come see us for our ACE Peer Group Discovery meeting in November to join the over 200 companies we have in peer groups. And come see us at Grow 2025 at Hidden Creek, Columbus, Ohio. Jason Cromley, going to be an awesome event. So hope I've helped you this week. Have a great week and let's grow.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Grow Show. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode and head to growgroupinc.com for more information and resources to grow your landscaping business. A special thanks to the folks at Steel, whose support makes this podcast possible and whose reliable handheld power equipment makes our jobs easier daily. We'll talk to you next week.